Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, amen. That all the elect, all the chosen say amen. All right. If you would, turn with me to the book of Jude. And as you turn there, the reason why we are going to the book of Jude is a call to remembrance of all the things that we have gone through and all the things that are set ahead for us. It's a time for us to remember who we are in Christ. The title to the sermon is simply a call to remembrance. A call to remembrance that we are at arms. We are to be on the alarm, sound the alarm on false doctrine, apostates. A call to remember the rebellion and the judgment of the past. A call to remember the message that was given to us. A call to remember we are kept by the power of Christ. And a call to remember all of this brings forth doxology. All of this brings forth worship in our God. These are a lot of verses. I won't be able to unpack every one of them. But in the general form, we're actually going to rest on the verse 17 here as we go through. So if you find your place, please stand with me to read God's Word. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, those who were long before marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turned the grace of God into licentiousness and denied the only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once and for all, that the Lord, after having a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for judgment of that great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulge in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh, and reject authority, revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile these things which they do not understand, and things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone away of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reeds in your love feast, when they feast with you without fearing, carrying for themselves clouds without water, carrying about along by winds autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from the Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember these words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time, there will be mockers following after their own godly lust. There are the ones who cause this division, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Father, you know the help that is needed at this time. So we pray, Lord, that you would take over this vessel as we do this summary over this book. Help us see the urgency holding to sound doctrine, holding and making much of our Christ. Lord, we need you. We need your presence. So, Father, please bless your word upon our hearts, that we may know that we are have been in the house of God, and that we are trembling right now with a healthy fear of your majesty, your glory, your omnipotence, your glorious sovereignty. So, Father, it does not matter what I look like, but it matters everything what is pictured here today. So let us, as we go through the things that you have set before us today, have a desire of unity in the church, unity and want to hear more from our God, unity want to be more conformed to the image of your Son, that our thriving force, Lord, would be the commonality of the Holy Spirit upon us, that this house would be of one mind, one accord, that we would keep in remembrance of who we belong to. Keep in remembrance, Lord, the one we love like no other love. That you make our hearts be so swollen right now, Lord, because of your presence, because of our love for you, because of your love for us. Help us, Lord, for we desire much. We want much from you, and that much is your presence, the understanding, the things that are set before us. Father, multiply that mercy upon us. For the glory of the Lamb, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, speaking, the reason why we went to the book of Jude, it goes along with Brother Chris, where we have been in the book of Matthew. Not everyone really that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father is the evidence. But we are not to forget, but we are called to remember what is taking place at this time, what our society is dealing with from all different angles, from all different cults. Let us not forget that just because we come and hang around in church makes us a child of God. Let us not forget the only thing that makes us a child of God, that's Jesus Christ and the work that it was done in behalf of the beloved. Let us not forget the effectual calling to call these things into remembrance. May these always be before us as we continue our walk with the Lord, to honor Him with all of our mind, all of our soul, with all of our heart. And I pray that this is your will as well. We call to remembrance. We look at verse 1. Now I'm just going to, I can't unpack all of these, and that's the biggest struggle I think of my life, is having 25 verses sitting in front of me. You know that I'm normally a 3 or 4 verse kind of guy. So there's a lot of struggling here for me. So I covet your prayers. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a slave unto the Lord. A brother, half-brother unto the Lord. Called, mean called, an effectual calling. Mean he's being called out. Beloved, loved of the Father, God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. That's good news. Because when you look at the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, you'll see that it was all done for the glory of the Lamb, that the Father gave him a bride. And that bride are those who have been called and marked out. And he says here, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to us. Here in the background, he's talking about the Christian, Jewish Christian community. Here he's also in the same area of 2 Peter, has the same wording here. Here he's calling us to remember who we are in Christ. Who Christ is. We are called to remember that we belong to Christ. We are kept by the Father for Jesus Christ. We can't stop right there. We're not, but we can. That's enough said. Amen. Ain't you glad that you belong to God and it's not up to you to keep your salvation? Because if it's up to us, we would have already lost it. Seconds after coming to Him. So that's a false doctrine that we will not adhere to. Because He makes that point clearly in the Scriptures that said before us. Now we're the sound of the trumpet on all this falseness that has taken place. This easy believism, this the just being associated with the people makes you a child of God. Just saying I'm a Christian makes you a child of God. That's all hogwash. We see it in Scripture. But I want you to notice in verse 3 that He's telling us to sound the alarm as the alarm was sounded to Him as He was writing, because He wants to talk about salvation. I mean, it's easy to talk about salvation, amen? Man, let me tell you about the Lord. That's easy. And we always want to talk about that, and that's good. But here the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute. Look at what it says. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, see, that's where He wanted to go. Look what He says here. I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend for the faith, that which once for all handed down to the saints. These 66 books that we have in this Bible right here is all we need, and all there will be. Amen? No other, no less, all of them. The Old Testament, with the New Testament. Amen? They complement each other. And as we go through this, you'll see at the end, and if I get excited, just look over that. Because I want us to be excited about, but you, beloved. But it's also going to show us some things that the Holy Spirit was telling Jude, hey, before you go there, I want you to make sure we understand what's taking place. And I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you, that you contend earnestly for the faith. But since you have this great salvation that has been given unto you, it's up to you to keep it in such a sense to bring glory to Him. We don't get salvation and lay there dead. We've already been raised from the dead. Amen? And now that we are alive in Jesus Christ, we have much to say. We have a banner to wave. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Praise the Lord. Once and for all, hand it down to us. And that's what He's talking about. But these contend earnestly for the faith. You enter a race to win. You enter a race to bring glory to God. Before this, it was all about you. And as we see here, we'll get there in just a minute. But He's appealing to us. He's urging us. He's sounding the alarm. Pick up your arm. Pick up your weapon. Your weapon is the written word of God that you have right here. Do not let somebody give you a false doctrine. Do not be running off with the false doctrine if it satisfies your flesh. These are the things that bring a warning to us. Amen? We're not going to lose our salvation. That's impossible. We are held by the power of the Father for Jesus Christ. And that's good news. Amen? But that also gives us a reason why we want to be obedient to Him, why we want to praise Him with our entire life, that we would be a living sacrifice unto Him. He's given us His all. Have we given Him our all? But to contend earnestly, put effort in there. And it should look something like you were actually trying to gain your salvation. But you already have it. But you do it willingly. You run the race to win. Why? Well, it's already been won. But now you're running a race for what? Again, to bring glory to God. And everything that we say and everything that we do, it's about Him. This is the mark of the true believer. This is the mark to be, to remember where we came from, to remember those that have crept in verse 4. that certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long before marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. They've crept in. They're in. In other words, the subtleness of Satan. He doesn't wave a big flag. He doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't come in, hey, look at me, I have some false doctrine over here. You know, would you like to have some? It'll make you feel good. He doesn't do it that way. He gives you something else that, if you're desiring that, be careful, you may just get it. These are ungodly people who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. In other words, they turn, once you are changed by the power of God, you're changed, you can't lose your salvation, so why even work toward it? Why even do anything? Matter of fact, you might as well go sin because the grace has been upon you, has been given to you, so go sin that grace may abound. God forbid! And the evidence of that is the looseness, the little view of God, little view of Scripture, here, there, everywhere, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't bother them that they cuss and fuss and do all these things. There's no self-reflection on, am I honoring God at all with my life? Do I have any conviction of all of my discontentment? Because all the complaining that we do, in Sunday school last week we had this one saying that was brought up. We can gripe and complain about something for hours. And compared to our praying time, how does that scale out for you? Because we can complain, I mean that's what hit the bottom, man. We can complain all day. How does that compare to our prayer time and worship of the Lord? Does it compare at all? Does it bother you at all? That phrase I tried to shake loose all week, and it just comes back over and over. And I talk about the littlest things of prayer, of complaining, but still complaining. And all the things that's taking place in this world right now, we are not to be a complaining people. Why? Because we are kept by Jesus Christ. We are to be satisfied where we're at. We have things to stand on. And we'll see that point here in a minute. We have things to stand on. We all have things that we have to do. We can't go no further. We have those. But here, in this petition that defending the faith, sounding the alarm, these people have crept in and also have been marked out. God knows who they are. They have crept in and made a joke out of the grace of God. Denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. This Gnosticism in the background of this, flesh was bad and evil, spirit good. The two couldn't mix. In other words, if you were a Christian, you could do all that you want to in the flesh, it didn't matter. And it goes on, there's more to it than that, but the whole picture of it is the easy believism. Once you become a child of God, you could do what you want to, but our want to has changed. That's what we're not getting out there. Everything about us has changed. Let us remember what Christ has done in our behalf. How glorious is that? What a way to start 2021. Amen? What a way to start. Praise the Lord. We're going to be focused on the Lord. We're going to be in unity of the church. We're going to have one thing set in our mind, our face set like flint toward the cross, to bring glory to God in all that we do. Mainly the unity of our mind and spirit. That's hopeful, isn't it? Everything we do unto the glory of God. But in the past, we see from 5 to verse 16, the past rebellion of the unbelievers was the promised judgment. No man is excused. I don't care how many times you got wet, how many times you repeated a prayer, how many times you came forward, and how many times you cried unto the Lord. If He hasn't changed you, you're not a child of God. Our prayer should be, Lord, change me. Change me, Lord. In verse 5 it says, I desire to remind you, though you know all things, talk about salvation, that the Lord, after saving the people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. How do you know that you believe? You love Him. Love is the driving force now. Amen? Not religion. Not 1, 2, 3, I got to do this or He'll kill me. Nothing like that. It's all because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Now this is our driving force. God so loved His Son, He gave Him a bride. Now you fathers would be able to relate to this, and those that don't have children can relate to this too. If you think about the church being the bride, and the father just on the earthly realm, you think that the father went away for a little while and you had his daughter here, and you slapped makeup on her from head to high heels, and you got her high heels and got her short breeches on and everything else that exposed her. What do you think? Well, how do you think the reaction of the father should be when he comes back? When he entrusted us with his bride. That is the church. That is the unity of the church. He entrusted us to remind us that if you don't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed blood for us that we may enter in, you don't believe that, you are here damned. And you have a responsibility to call upon the name of the Lord. No matter how much religion you have, it's not going to do it. No matter how smart you are, no matter how much wisdom you have on being a grammar student or a grammar smith and all the stuff that you can do right here, it boils down to this right one thing right now is, do you love Him? It always boils down to, do you love Him? Because if you love Him, if you're rooted in this Spirit, if you're rooted in God, where is it going to come up at? In your life. What do people know you by? Church on Sunday, cussing on Monday? It don't have to be cussing. It could just be fussing. That's, oh my. If we have a tendency to fuss and think it's okay. Or have a tendency to vent and think it's okay. All of that right there is an affront to God. Why? Because we are not trusting Him. Man's in control. That way we can complain about man. But God's in control, and all our complaints go straight to Him, that He's not doing it right. But as we go through, I'm just going to hit a couple points here on these set of verses. For the rebellion comes judgment. And we see He destroyed those that did not believe. Verse 6, eternal bonds unto darkness for the judgment of this great day. Verse 7, since they in the same way and these indulge in gross immorality, went with strange flesh, existing, exhibiting an example undergoing punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, also dreamers, dreaming, defiling the flesh, rejecting authority, revile angelic majesties. Now listen to how Michael the archangel handles this. In verse 9, it says, Michael the archangel went. He disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, you heard that on TV. You see that on TV. I hope you change the channel right there. I rebuke you. And they twist all of that around like they have power to do so. The archangel doesn't have power to do and so will not, would not, and said, the Lord rebuke you in this. These men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. Do y'all see our society like that right now? The government is trying to take out male or female. So it's just it at birth. We're not it. We're male or female. Amen. One or the other. We don't change it. We're not in control of that. But it's worse than that. We see them making much of unreasonable animals like dogs. Making much of them. When's the last time you saw something about abortion? Abortion's not the problem. The problem starts before that. Abortion. Who is waving the flag for the unborn? We're worried about puppy dogs. Yet, these children are dying because of sin. Our society has erased that out. It's here already. It was there for them at the time, and it's here already for us. Different package, but definitely here already in our society. And it was there already for them. But woe to them. They were destroyed, these things, they are destroyed. Verse 11 says, woe to them. For they have gone after Cain. For they paid the way. They have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. And perished in the rebellion of Korah. When you see this, it's worse than that. Here's the woe to them. Woe to me or you if it's us. Woe to any of these things that we think that God is not going to judge. Well, I'm saved. You know how many people I've heard say this? I'm saved. I'm just backslid. You know what they're boasting in? They're boasting in being backslid. Saved from what? What are they saved from? Saved from God. By God. And to God. There will be black darkness has been reserved for them forever. Doubly dead, uprooted, produce no fruits. These men are hidden reeds in your love feast. In our assemblies, as our gathering together, hopefully not today, but there may be in our gathering as we come together in love, the unity of love, the unity of the love of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why we're here, because we have that common unity of being a believer of Jesus Christ. But some have come in to our feast. When they, the feast without even fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carrying along winds and autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom they, verse 13, for whom the black darkness have been reserved forever. And he goes out and continues on. And it was about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came in many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds which they have done in the ungodly way and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are, gives you a picture right here, if I may just back up just a second, the profile of the apostate. Ungodly, morally perverted, deny Christ, defiled the flesh, rebellious, revile holy angel, dreamers, arrogant, corrupted, grumblers, finding fault, self-seeking, arrogant speakers, flattering, mockers, that cause division, the worldly minded without the Spirit. Execute judgment upon all. Convict all the ungodly and all the ungodly deeds and done the ungodly way. But I believe in Jesus. There's many people that wave that flag that have never been changed by the power of God. There's one thing to know somebody, and there's another thing to know them. You know about somebody, knowing of somebody. So we see a declaration here of the past. They're in judgment. Wrath is coming. The wrath is there. And we see plainly in Scripture, as we have seen, a call to arms. The call to the past rebellion and judgment to see that God's not playing the game with us. Obedience and faith go hand in hand. If you love Him, everything else follows. Amen? Everything else will come naturally. You know how your nature was changed? Everything was just natural to you. It didn't make no never mind, to some extent. You may have some sense of right and wrong. But now that God has turned your mind, your soul, everything about you, turned you in from hating Him to loving Him. Everything about you has changed. You are called to remember this. Remember, we're in a war. If you're not fighting with sin, sin's winning. Amen? Nobody here is sinless, but we are saints, so we're sinning less every day for the glory of the Lamb. We have one thing on our mind, to honor and glorify Jesus Christ and Him alone. Isn't that good? We have more coming. It gets better. We're going to the crescendo right now. Amen? We see that it's in to remember the apostolic message of verse 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember these words. What words? The words of salvation. Remember these words each day of your life. Remember God's Word. Meditate on His words. Live and breathe His words, because that's how you're going to fight sin. If you don't have a sword in your hand, and they have a sword, which they do, they have a cannon, whatever you want to put there, but the sword of the Word of God is much bigger than that. It's a two-edged sword. Piercing even and dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And as a discerner of the thought, the intents of the heart. Aren't you glad that you have the written Word of God? I had the privilege Christmas Eve morning, which had been Thursday morning, to take in 23 Bible studies, 13 Bibles, into Haywood, Jackson County Jail. 13, the week before, in Jackson County. As I'm walking to the jail to hand these off to the people to go distribute them, I'm walking thinking, how heavy this is. And like I was telling the Sunday school class, if I just took out, put one verse in there, it'd be just as heavy. Could you imagine receiving a gift of God? A Bible on New Year? Christmas Eve? Right? It would be a new year, praise the Lord for that, if they received the gift of God. But you think about that glorious statement, how heavy this is, and the responsibility that we have as a church. Unity, you were there with me, carrying the weight of the God's Word into those that need it just as much as we do. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words which were spoken beforehand by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there were saying to you, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own godly lust. These are the ones that cause division, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. These are the people that do that. That's what that looks like. That's what an apostate looks like. Or a very, very young Christian. But generally, the apostate looks like this, even though he may wave the flag of Jesus. We are to remember the message that was given to us. Remember the message that was handed down once and for all of the 66 books that we have. None to be changed, none to be perverted or twisted, and not to make our own, but Scripture on top of Scripture on top of Scripture. These are the ones that cause division. Verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, building yourself up. How do you build yourself up? Well, it starts by tearing yourself down and recognize sin in your life. And as you tear yourself down, as you expose yourself to God, as you plead with God, show me my sin, Lord. Please, please, Lord, Father, convict me of anything that may dishonor your holy name. Please, Father, I beg you. Then, you're in the process of being built up by focusing on who God is, praying in the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit to pray. You have to be born from above to pray. Other than that, it goes no further than the top of your hair. Head, hair. Means very short if I wasn't a Christian. Some a little longer than that. But you, beloved, we don't tear each other down. We build each other up. We encourage ourselves, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to fight the good fight of faith. We've entered into a race. Come on, brother, let's go. Come on, sister, let's go. Let's fight. Let's honor God with all that we are. Building ourselves up, building up. So if your joke or your comment or whatever it may be tears down a brother that you would be able to laugh, you need to stop it. Amen. If you have to tear somebody down that you may laugh and have joy, you are dead wrong. Amen. Christians, do not do that. But we have joy. Why? Because we keep ourselves in the love of God. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we do that? Well, we don't put this on a shelf tomorrow or tonight. He uses this. This is what He has put before us for our life, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Not to go on a shelf come Monday, not to go on a shelf come tonight, but to keep these things before us that we will keep ourselves in the love of God. What is that saying? Keep your focus on who He is. Keep your idea of running the race to win. Look at this next part. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Do you see that? Waiting anxiously. Anxiously waiting to go home. I don't know about y'all, but if the Lord would come back today, I would be A-okay with that. Right now it'd be great. We're passing through here. Remember that. We're only passing through. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Waiting in the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Have mercy on some who are doubting, young Christians. Others who snatching them out of the fire and having mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. A lot to be said for that, but in a roundabout way, this is what it's saying. Have mercy on some. Even though there are some among us that are doubting and have a twisted view of doctrine or a twisted view of the Scripture right here, we are to have mercy. I don't have it all figured out. None of the pastors have it all figured out. You don't have it all figured out. Amen? But have mercy by teaching. Have mercy by stepping up. Have mercy by showing these things that we are kept by the power of God. We are kept. Have mercy by showing the ones that are apostate, having the false doctrine, holding on to their ability, perverting the truth, bringing the grace of our God, just bringing great disgrace to it. Have mercy on them by what? Speaking truth to them. You just don't let them go to hell. You have a responsibility because you're either being conformed in this witnessing event into the image of God. Be ready to give a reason to these things. Why the thinking is wrong. But you are not to get so high-minded in our Christianese language that we can't talk to anybody. They must see our heart. And the heart must show Christ. It must pump Jesus Christ. It must have Scripture all the time ready. We must be so about Jesus Christ is that we're just eat up with it. Amen? Amen? Let us not forget. Let us remember. Verse 24. We have seen. We are called to remember to call to arms, the alarm. We have seen that to remember that the past rebellion came with judgment. We are called to remember the message once and for all handed down to us. We are called to remember now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. Did you hear that? Listen, you didn't hear that. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. That's the prize. Amen? Making much of Him, looking upon Him, making much of Jesus Christ, making much of the throne room, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, being able to stand there. Why? Because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ, blameless, with great joy. He says, my joy I leave with you. Does people know you of being a happy person? Well, they should. They should. Or do they know you as one of these complainers? causing division, grumbling, self-seeking? Or do they know you as... He actually thinks he's going to be able to stand before God with great joy. Joy of Jesus Christ, he finds great joy in it. We will find great joy in it. Why? Because this is what we're going for. To be in the presence of God forevermore. In the presence of His glory. Blameless. We're only blameless through the work of Christ. With great joy. We are called to remember. Called to remembrance. Doxology. Worship. The only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, now and forever. See, it just gets better. Each time we've started down low, and each time we just kept on stepping up one more step. We are called to remember to worship Jesus Christ in the beauty of His holiness and the glory and the majesty and the authority of God forevermore. This is what we're going for, amen? We want it now. We should want it now. But we're also going to be one day standing before God in all His glory, being able to stand to worship Him in His majesty. You ever considered the weight of His majesty? The weight of what it means? Of this great joy? Have you ever experienced this great joy? He's not simply the King. He is the King of Kings. He's not simply a Lord. He is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, what a Savior, amen? Now that doesn't excite you. That doesn't get your wood fired up. Your wood's wet. It's green. Something's wrong. We are to leave here today rejoicing in Jesus Christ, remembering all the things that He has set before us in this book, that we may worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Making much of Christ. But you, beloved, this is not only your responsibility, but your privilege, is to make much of Him. Does the world see that in us? To glory in God, being captivated by His presence. Are you captive by the power of God? Or is it something else? What are you thinking of right now? Let us pray. Father, we thank You. For Your great mercy. On this summary, Book of Jude, reminding us to make much of You. Reminding us that we are kept for Jesus Christ. Reminding us, Lord, we owe You everything. Everything. What's the application here? The application, Lord, is make much of You. Examine ourselves. Is our joy a godly joy? Help us, Lord, to be a people overflowing with joy in all things, even the toughest of times, believing our God. In the words that we've given once and for all, about our salvation, about our walk with You. Help us, Lord, that we may be encouraged by Your Word. As we come together this afternoon, we pray that You bring everybody back, that we may pray in the unity of the Spirit. for the unity of the church, for the unity of this coming year to bring glory to your name, that you would help us, Lord, to enjoy you, rejoice in you, make much of you all the days of our lives, that the Lamb of God may receive the full reward of his sufferings. To you, Lord, to you be the glory. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen.